We're back. This is the Sunday Show. I'm Dave Schrader. Let's get squatchy. We're going to get weird for the next hour. Another Minnesota local is in studio with me. Doug Hychek of Monster Quest. His new film is called Sasquatch Legend Meets Science Number 2. We're going to talk about Bigfoot and other strange encounters. But, Doug, you said that it's been quite a while since you've been here.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And the last time you were here was Stanton Friedman.
Yes.
You had a strange experience take place.
Yeah, it happened right here in the studio, and I've never told this story publicly.
All right, let's hear it.
What happened? So Stanton and I were working on a project. Mm-hmm. He was a nuclear physicist who was doing a lot of lectures and one of the first investigators of the Roswell incident,
right.
Majestic 12, pretty famous guy. And so me and Stanton were doing projects together, but he happened to be in town. So I called Tim Russell, who had a show on CCO. I said, hey, Tim, do you want to interview Stanton? He's in town. We're in the area. He's like, yeah, stop by. So we stop by. We get in, and Stanton brought up during the interview, he said, today is the anniversary of the Lonnie Zamora incident in Sirocco, New Mexico, that happened in 1964.
Right.
Okay. All fine. Tim turns around to Stanton, and Stanton was one of the original investigators. Tim turns around to Stanton, and he goes, I was there.
No kidding.
Stanton goes, what? He goes, I was on vacation with my family. I was a little boy. I was with my sister, my mom, and my dad, and we saw the smoke. And we saw a police car. So we went down to help. So they went down to help Lonnie Zamora right after this ship had taken off. And they were literally, they said the things were on fire still. And so Stanton found this brand new witness by just sheer coincidence that it happened to be the anniversary of that incident. And here we are with a witness that had never come forward.
That's crazy.
It was like nuts.
Yeah.
You think about the chances of that.
Yeah,
Dave.
Very thin. What are the odds?
So I just had chills, and I'm thinking, okay, we were definitely supposed to be here.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully something weird will happen for us tonight.
Well, you never know.
I know. Well, you're the guy, when I think monsters and local legends, you were the first guy I thought of to bring on tonight for this inaugural episode of Going into High Strangeness, because whenever we chat, first of all, I love the work that you've done in the past, and I love how passionate you are about this field, and that you are open and have had many strange experiences.
I have, yeah. It's been weird.
Let me ask you one thing real quick, since I said let's get squatchy. One of the, of course, so many people will say, hey, listen, if there's Bigfoot, if this creature really exists, why is the best piece of evidence we've got from 1967 the Patterson-Gimlin film? And that's blurry and janky and looks, you know, pretty questionable. However, a lot of people don't realize it has been cleaned and stabilized, so you can get a really great view. To me, this has only solidified its credibility, because you would think that if you take this old janky piece of 56-year-old video footage, clear it up, stabilize it, you would start to see the zipper on the costume. You would see the fake insoles of the sneakers or whatever would be.
Well, not only has it been cleaned up, Dave, we've used artificial intelligence to really enhance it. And you can see all the muscles moving. Back, they didn't have materials for breasts, like artificial gels,
right.
Silicone. And this thing had breasts, you know. You can see all of the muscles moving. It didn't have any of the telltale long hair in the back of the neck to hide the mask.
Right.
It didn't have any of those things. And back when I was originally trying to debunk it myself, I noticed that there was a lump that would form only during leg flexion. And this lump to me looked like some kind of a herniated, a herniation
muscle, right?
In the femur area. So I called a surgeon up. And right away, the surgeon says, and I sent him the clip, and he goes, oh, I fix those every day. And I said, what? What do you mean? He said, that is a hernia that women develop when they're pregnant. And then after they get into postpartum, that hernia slides down and ends up above their femur. He knew exactly what it was.
Wow.
And so you just get these chills, you know.
Yeah.
The more you try to debunk it, the more things you uncover.
I had the luxury of interviewing Philip Morris, who was one of the people that claimed to have been the guy that created the costume that Bob Hieronymus wore. Now, this, for those of you that don't know, Bob Hieronymus was a very tall gentleman that claims to have been in cahoots with Gimlin.
Bob Gimlin.
Right. And said that he was hired to be the Bigfoot and that Philip Morris created the costume from a repositioned gorilla costume. And when I had Philip Morris on and I spoke to him, I said, you know, what's really strange to me, Phil, is that it's 1967. Looking at even what the best movie companies had available, because in 67, you had 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Yep.
And if you remember that horrible monkey costumes in the beginning when they're all drumming and jumping around outside the obelisk. Those were horrible costumes. I think they had a better gorilla costume on the Three Stooges from the 30s than they did at this. They had the Planet of the Apes, which was cutting edge, but it didn't look – it looked like masks, right?
It still looked fake.
Right. It had that deal to it. And then I said, Philip, the other issue is you had 30, 40 years, and you said that you and Bob were going to recreate the costume. What you recreated with current technology and current costuming skills – looks like something my eighth grader could have made to go to school in. And he was horrified that I would say that. But I said, the footage exists.
I love it.
It's so bad, Philip. How could you have created a costume that gorgeous and perfectly detailed and look like that in 1967, but in 1998, when you were asked to recreate it, you came up with something that looked like it was paper mache and hair glue.
Yeah, and this is when we had stretchable fabrics.
Right.
And things like that where you could do things. The more the Patterson footage tries to get debunked, which I'm sure it would have been interesting had you had actually got new information out of him.
Yeah.
That, you know, because I remember being with Bob. I went to Bluff Creek with Bob for the first time.
Bob Hieronymus?
No, Bob Gimlin.
Okay.
I went back to Bluff Creek with him. He had never been there. Since that incident.
Right.
So I went back there with him, and just out of a whim, I called my network. I was working for the Outdoor Life Network. Called him up, and I said, hey, I'm with Bob Gimlin. Would you guys be willing to offer him $1 million if he's willing then to do a whole show with me on how he did this, how they did this hoax?
Right.
So it'd be the most watched show in history. It'd be huge. And he said, do it. Go ahead. And so I go up to Bob. I'm interviewing him, and I said, Bob, I'll give you $1 million if you tell us how you did the hoax and are willing to just do a TV show, put an end to this whole controversy, be done. He said, Doug, I'd love to take your money, but let me tell you again what happened. And he just went right into the whole story again. That was the end of it.
We have to take a quick break. We're monster questing right now with Doug Hijack. We will be back. And if you have questions, thoughts, you can always reach us through the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line at 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is News Talk 830 WCCO. If you've missed any part of tonight's program with Dakota Layden or Doug Hijack, you can always go and find the podcast versions on WCCO and make sure that you never miss another episode. We'll be back again next Sunday with even more strange hijinks. Make sure you tune in Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. Doug Hijack, all right, you've got a new film called Sasquatch, Legend Meets Science Number 2. Where can people see this?
Well, we're not done with it.
Okay.
I'm hoping it'll end up on like Hulu or Netflix. But this film is going to be unique because we have uncovered 24 new types of evidence, not pieces of evidence, if that makes sense. Things like the skin sebum, the skin oil, the what they call surface skin lipids. So we're going to be analyzing the chemical content because that skin oil is really 3D evidence. It should have DNA. It's got latent details that we can study, which we are currently. And there's a chemical compound in every primate that's different. Humans have cholesterol in our skin oil. Gorillas don't, as an example. But all that work's already been done by scientists. So we're hoping that the skin oil that's left by them on camper windows and and RVs. We collect a sample every week, for instance, at least one.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's going to be very enlightening. And that's just an example of a new category, not new evidence. And so we've got 24 new categories, which is kind of mind-blowing, you know. And so we're excited to get done, but I'm also kind of under the timeline of labs.
Right.
So we can't just say, all right, you got to hurry up, and that's got to be done by next week. I can't do that. We're working with the entire University of North Carolina or North Carolina State as an example. So we can't really dictate to them.
How reticent are they to run a test? Do they know what they're looking for?
Very. No, we're just giving all this stuff under unknown animals. Unknown.
Okay. But they don't know that you're hoping it's Bigfoot?
Well, I don't actually think some of them do.
Okay.
Because although the coordinator knows that,
mm-hmm.
the guy that's coordinating the research for us, the actual scientists do not.
Quick question for you, Doug. All right, I understand the concept of maybe the government wanting to hide aliens from us because maybe it's something that they can't control the narrative of.
Right.
But what is the idea behind the government conspiracy to cover up Bigfoot? If it's just a creature that lives amongst us and is just really adept at staying away from us, why declassify, why you know, debunk it and claim that it doesn't exist?
Well, first off, I think most of the cover-ups happened at the ground level. They happen with the DNR agent who's actually right there finding the tracks, has a sighting. He's not going to say anything. So it starts kind of there, where he tells his buddy that he's close to, but are they going to tell their boss? No. So I think it starts there. So you have it kind of from above and below the cover-up. Does that make sense?
I understand that,
but,
sure.
But the real question is, ask yourself, would there be any reason that they would be assigning government agents right now today to study this mystery? And I would say yes. There could be medical reasons. Think of an unknown, you know, non-human or very human primate. You know, they could be very, very human. Maybe they already know that or they don't know it. But I have a feeling that there's a shadow, certain agents that are working on this mystery that they were paying for.
But you would think if they did believe that it is a humanoid,
right,
that there would be a protective thing put in place. Because at this point, if Dave and Doug go out and shoot a Bigfoot,
yeah,
there's really no law in place.
No, there isn't.
Unless we find out it's mostly
there
human.
Is in Skamania County, but not here.
Right. But for the most part, I mean, if they're trying to protect it because it is human in nature.
Right.
Wouldn't it behoove them to say, don't go out shooting these
well,
things?
You know, there's certainly the whole realm of are they paranormal? And maybe there's some where the paranormal ties in with UFOs, with ties in with God knows, you know, spiritual things. I always wondered even why they even covered up the UFO thing, really, because I don't think they know that much. You know, I think they know a little
bit. That's exactly why they covered up.
Right.
You can't tell your people you're completely safe, we've got this under control. It's better to deny the problem than it is to say mommy and daddy can't protect you from the big bad monsters.
Why is the state of Minnesota denying we have cougars when I've got them in my neighborhood?
I've been to a couple of bars seeing the cougars out. Mountain lions. Sure.
Mountain lions.
Yeah, I don't know.
But literally, I've had tracks on my beach. I had a sighting on Radisson Road, you know, years apart. They're living right here all over Minnesota. They're breeding, but they won't admit it. So it may have to do with, you know, by not acknowledging something, you can just ignore it. You don't have to set up a department. You don't have to deal with it.
But that makes no sense to me either, because if there are children in the area, and we're encroaching and infringing on their areas more and more, which we seem to be doing, as there's new housing developments and forests being torn down, which is big business for cities and big business for towns. But it also starts putting our children and our pets and other animals in harm's way, because if these things are out there and they know about it, who then becomes culpable if somebody is attacked and they didn't do more to stop it?
Yeah, no, I realize. There was a golf course, I'm not going to say the name, but it was in the Brooklyn Center area, and we watched one morning. I was producing a golf show, believe it or not, and one morning we were watching a cougar kind of sneaking up on some golfers, And my first reaction was, why is there an African lion on the golf course? You know, and I'm out there and we're just watching this. And it was all over. The whole thing was, and it kind of stalked him for a little, and then it ran off into the forest. But if you think about it, there's a lot that goes on in the forest, in the woods, in at night, and things we have no idea. It's just, you know, Doug Hajcik and Dave Schrader, we know nothing.
Speak for yourself,
Hajcik. Yeah, we know nothing, David.
We're going to have to take a break in about 2 minutes here, but I want to kind of set the stage as well for the fact that part of the reason I love talking to you is because you are so open to this. You've had a lot of strange experiences.
Yeah.
And one that really seems to fascinate people is stories of the Mothman.
Yeah.
And obviously we know that's from Point Pleasant, West Virginia. However, Chicago for the last 4 or 5 years has been
crazy,
laying these claims to seeing this large bat-like or Mothman-like figure. Many different people are seeing it from different walks of life, different belief systems, different financial, status. So it's not just like, oh, a bunch of drunks that were out late night saw this. Yeah. Many different people are seeing that. But you have had a weird experience in Minnesota that I want to cross over and discuss and talk about. So we'll do that when we come back. For people that are interested in keeping up with you and the projects you're doing, what is the best website or link to reach you?
Well, people can get a hold of me on Facebook, of course. They can message me. But you can go to untoldradionetwork.com, and you can message me there and keep up on what we're doing.
All right, we'll take a break. If you have questions for our guest or you've had your own strange encounter with a cryptid creature, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us through the stylesfinancial.com WCCO talk and text line at 651-461-9226. We'll do that and more when we return. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is News Talk 830 WCCO. And if you like the strange and the supernatural, I've got a brand new book out there called Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness, and you can find it on Amazon.com in both electric book form and in physical form there. Or you can go right to my website at paranormal60.com and get signed copies. We're in studio tonight with Doug Hajcik. He is from Monster Quest. He is working on a new film, Sasquatch Legend Meets Science. And before the break, I was talking about Mothman. Now, this is something that took place. Was it in 67 as well? The Mothman sighting in Point Pleasant?
Oh, that whole thing. I think it happened in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there was a sighting of this large moth-like man, and it landed on the bridge, and then within a few days the bridge collapsed. And there was all of these strange sightings that were taking place.
Yep.
And now Chicago's been inundated with these sightings and strange phenomena. And it's also interesting to note that the crime rate has gone through the roof in Chicagoland area. A lot of violence has taken place, and is there correlations to it? But
it's interesting.
Yeah, have you seen this Mothman-like creature here in Minnesota?
Yeah, actually, you know, for many, many years, I didn't tell anybody. But we were driving back from Cloquet, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful evening. We were in a really good mood. There was soft music playing on the radio. I remember the song. It was Vincent by Don McLean. And we're just driving. And the moon was out. And we're in my Corvette, and as we headed south, all of a sudden we both saw something kind of moon level, and the moon was full.
Right.
So we see this kind of glistening object up in the sky. Couldn't really tell how far. And then it dropped straight down like a spider, like on a web, and stopped right above the freeway. And we're like, whoa. And then it headed right for my windshield, straight on. No wing flapping, nothing like that. But as it got closer, we could see it looked like a man with wings. Now, it sounds absolutely nuts, right?
Right.
And I would think I was nuts had it not been for Yvette sitting right next to me, seeing the same thing, and then her ducking. And then I finally had to duck because it was going to come right through the windshield. There was some screaming and some commotion in the car, and you can only imagine. And she's like, pull over on the next rabbit. I think it's stuck to the car.
Oh, like, God. Did you hear it hit?
No.
Okay.
No. And I knew it wasn't. I mean, a Corvette's not that big. The wings, Dave, covered both lanes of the freeway, right, of 35W.
Okay.
And this happened between Cloquet and Moose Lake. I don't want to give the exact location, but then shortly after that, the bridge that we were near was washed out in a flood. So that happened right after we saw that thing. And remember the last floods that happened up north?
Right.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Now, this being, you see this, and I understand that it's backlit and silhouetted. So
no,
could you see detail?
It was lit up perfectly in my headlights.
Okay.
High beams.
Oh, right, as it came closer to you.
Yeah.
What could you tell us about the physical look of this creature?
I mean, the best way I could describe it is like a gargoyle. Shiny skin, bat-like wings that were, you know, also shiny. It looked very, very human, except for black eyes and kind of ears that stuck straight up. And then when I hit the ground, and it's really hard to do, by the way, in a Corvette.
Right.
To hit the ground. But I had to because it was coming right at the windshield. And I don't know what it was, but I'll tell you, we think about that almost every day, wondering why us. Why did we see that? Why did it attack my car? We have no answers. But I went on to do a Monster Quest episode on the Mothman where I had refused earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, there's no evidence. So, and after that incident, we went ahead and I produced an episode of Monster Quest. And I just kept my mouth shut, didn't tell anybody anything. We found other witnesses in Minnesota that had encounters. Plus, remember 35W Bridge at one time?
Right, yeah.
Plus one guy that saw a Mothman perched on that bridge.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Now, this kind of creature, do you think that this is simply an undiscovered creature? Do you believe it's an alien? Or do you believe it's something interdimensional?
Well, it's got to be. Here's why. All of the witnesses that I've talked to say it never flaps its wings. Many people, including guys like Lon Strickler, have seen this thing stand up, bring its wings out, and then just shoot straight up. So it's very unearthly. I have people contact me constantly telling me about, you know, sightings where it flew in front of their car. They saw it fly away. That never flapped its wings. So in order to have wings out and drop straight down would defy all physics.
Right.
So you just can't put it in that physical realm of a black bear, right?
Right.
You just can't.
Right.
Because it defied everything you could ever imagine. So there's something going on. You know, it's what do they call those? There's a name for critters that kind of seem to come and go into our dimension. There's a name for it. I can't think of it right now.
Well, interdimensional beings, I know, is one of the kind of hot button.
There's a really cool term for it, and I just can't think of it. Maybe I'll think about it when we get back.
With these type of creature sightings and more people claiming to see them, the skeptical side of me says, you know, a lot of people like to inject themselves into history, and they like to share a story that maybe they heard second or third hand, but then they kind of adopt it as their own. And then they admit to it later, which ends up kind of ruining the credibility of the stories to begin with. How hard is it for you when you're talking to people that are sharing these stories, these encounters, to differentiate between what's a real experience and somebody who's just looking to get their 15 minutes of fame?
Yeah. Well, usually I can tell from emotion. They're really emotional. They probably had an experience. I mean, it does well up emotions in you. They're more passionate. They're more, you know, they're just more animated. It's the ones where they tell you the story and they're just kind of dead. You know, they're not really doing anything. And I've been, I've had some professional training. I used to be a private detective for a number of years. I worked downtown actually. And, I've just got kind of a good sense. And I'll tell you, I have not met many people I thought were lying. I have met a few. But generally, the people that lie, they keep making up new things. They keep hoaxing. They never give up hoaxing things. And generally, a witness that has really seen a monster, man, there's passion there. And you can tell. It's kind of like telling the difference between a cartoon and a real actor. It's just so obvious, right?
Right. Well, what about the Minnesota Iceman?
That was fake.
Now, I've heard that there was a very real one, but eventually they replaced it with a replica.
I know the whole story.
Okay.
Here's why I know the whole story.
Please.
Because not only did I meet Frank Hansen, I went to his farm many, many years ago, back in the 70s. and I went there to buy an antique refrigerator because he had a sign up, antiques for sale. This all happened by coincidence. But I had gone to the Minnesota Iceman numerous times at the fair when I was a kid, right? Looking through the blurry glass, you know, trying to look at some of the flesh. And that was real, by the way. There was, I hate to say guts, but there was entrails
right,
and things
right.
over the body. There was an eye that had been dislodged. But even back then, it just something didn't look right with the hair, because hair is kind of a dead giveaway. I would see certain pores with numerous hairs coming out of them on the forehead, right? And I remember my sister had a doll. Back in the 60s, dolls weren't, they were made by hand mostly. And I remember seeing that same kind of thing on her doll, because they used to grab it by the hair and whip it. You know, be mean to your sister.
Right.
But you'd see this stuff if you were aware of your world. And I saw that. Okay, well, I took note of that. Well, then, by coincidence, when I ended up at Frank Hansen's farm, he was talking to my girlfriend at the time. I was driving a 1969 Mustang convertible. Pull in, I'm looking for an antique to restore. And he's talking to her, and I just wander off, and I go in this farm, and there is this coffin, the glass coffin, which I immediately recognized as that Minnesota Iceman coffin. And there's the latex body in it. And the glass is kind of open. You could clearly see the refrigeration unit had been broken. It was in disarray. So what I think happened, of course, I looked right away to the forehead. There was the same one pore I remember from back in 1967 that had the same multiple hairs coming out of one pore. Believe it or not, that one pore gave it away for me, because I remembered that one pore because it was nearest the clear part of the ice. And I've told this story a few times. Nobody believes me. But I believe Frank Hansen had, you know, the ice and the pig guts and all the things he did, which was brilliant, by the way. And then he displayed it without ice because his damn refrigeration unit broke. And he was too lazy or didn't have the money to fix it. Think
gotcha.
About it. Well, have we all done that? You've done trade shows, Dave, many of them. All of a sudden, you realize at the last moment, oh, crap, I gotta get a banner made.
Right.
I got to get this done. And you haven't had time to do it? I think that's what happened. And then he just made up another story.
Mm.
So there's nothing.
Right. The second story was then that he had to put the original one in hiding. He made a replica, an exact replica, so that he could continue to travel and show people what it looked like.
Great. It was a great story. Right. It took no brilliance to come up with that story. It was his refrigeration unit that was just broken. He didn't have time to repair it or didn't care.
Well, see, there are logical explanations for some of the strange phenomena. We'll take our final break. We'll be back with more here on News Talk 830 WCCO. You can find out more about our guest and the work that he's doing by visiting his website, untoldradionetwork.com. That's untoldradionetwork.com, where you'll also be up to date on Sasquatch Legend Meets Science number 2, the movie that he's currently working on. Doug Hychek in studio with us as we wrap up tonight's program. All right, Doug, as we have got about 5 minutes left here together, Minnesota has got a lot of great mysteries, some that we're able to debunk, some that are still anomalous and strange. Have you ever really been frightened by anything you've encountered in all the years you've done of investigating these claims?
Ever been really, really scared in Minnesota, except one time. I was deer hunting. I'm on a stand, and I was hunting with my cousins. And it was early morning, still dark, and I hear chest beating. Well, it's a grouse, and it came again, kept getting closer, and I realized when my body started shaking, it probably it's not a grouse. And then the stink hit me, and I remember sitting there, my heart racing, trying not to move, and I put one in the chamber because I'd heard stories about Bigfoot,
right.
You know, producing the stink, and the chest beating, but the chest beating got so loud, Dave, that you knew something really huge making it. Like, you know, like a bass would vibrate you if you're standing too close.
Sure.
That was like that. So I was really scared because I was alone. And I think that alone thing is when you really feel the most fear. If you're with a friend and something like that happens, it's no biggie. You know, you can blow it off. But when you're alone, that's when the real fear hits you.
Did you ever get a visual?
No, never saw a thing. But what was interesting, we had a meet at noon, go back to camp. So we go there. First thing my cousin goes, and his deer stand was a quarter mile away. He goes, did you smell anything? And did you hear that pounding? And I went, oh, my God. And then my uncle goes, it happened to me, too. And I'm like, oh, man. So that was interesting.
Do you think it was warning other animals because it was locating you guys? It was kind of letting the nature creatures know you were in the area?
Could have been we were in his hunting area, screwing up his hunt.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was trying to intimidate us.
What would you have done had it walked into your view? Would you have taken the shot?
No, I don't think I would have, but I think that I'd still be in that stand. It'd be like, you know, I'd still be there.
What do you think it's going to take? Are we going to have to discover a body? Is there ever going to be a clear enough piece of video evidence now that people at home and AI can do such remarkable film quality and create just about anything? How are we ever going to determine if a good piece of footage shows up?
Well, I think all we can hope for is to raise the bar scientifically, like the skin sebum. It's 3D evidence. You cannot fake latent fingerprints. You cannot fake chemical compounds. You can fake video, but you can't fake chemical compounds, right? And you can't fake DNA. So that's where I'm hoping to go after this, to just raise the bar. And if we can throw other breakthroughs, right, in this film for the first time, I think it'll just raise the bar. Would a body prove it? Possibly, but maybe not. I still think there'd be many scientists that went, oh, we need two bodies. This is just some genetic holdback, some guy that had a genetic disease. It's a one-off. There's no way this is a species. So I would still worry that it would just be.
Well, we do know that that does exist, though. There, you know, JoJo the dog face
yeah,
boy. There are humans that have grown hair completely
yep.
head to toe
yep.
that may feel like they're throwbacks or are afraid to come forward that exist. Do you think if one does get shot, will the person that shoots it and brings it forward, will they end up facing a murder trial? Or will science allow the first one to have been shot saying, you know, you can't make an omelet without cracking an egg?
Yeah, no, I don't really know what'll happen. I don't want to be the one guy to find out. But I really do feel their DNA will be very, very, very close to human. I mean, I've tested enough good samples to already know that. But the problem is when they come back really human, then the scientists lose interest and they go, contaminated, contaminated. They don't want to deal with it. But now we're going to dig way below that. We're dealing with now people that are going to go, okay, we know it's going to probably come back close to human, but we're not going to write it off as contamination. We're going to go after the full sequence.
I know Dr. Melba Ketchum caught a lot of heat
yeah.
When she was doing her research and work and had what she called the stake. It was a piece of the palm pad, I guess, of a Bigfoot that had been carved off and was supposedly sent in for testing. She took a lot of heat, but she did tell me, and she had made the offer to me back in the day, that if I wanted to come have a Bigfoot experience, she knew of a location I could be taken to, and that would happen. I never took her up on that, and I kind of kicked myself for never having done that. But when I do get ready to make that move, Doug, you're going to have to come with me.
Sounds good. We'll do it, Dave.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for tuning in and spending some time. I'll be back again next Sunday as we explore more of the strange and unusual world around us. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Check out the Paranormal 60 podcast as well. I'll be back again with you right here. And thank you to Jonathan Lowe, our producer, right here on News Talk 830 WCCO.